Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, October 30th, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after this brief break for non-members, a 2-for-20 discussion with Jake Barnett regarding the WWE talent cuts, a regrettable comment by an NXT wrestler, and the latest on Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, and Bo Dallas. Okay, everybody on the site today, it's actually been a pretty busy Monday considering there was not a pay-per-view yesterday. We have an interview recap with Eric Bischoff saying WWE needs to pick a direction when it comes to Roman Reigns as to whether or not he's a babyface or a heel, and he also says he's a guy who knows a little bit about there being too much programming considering he went with 3 hours of Nitro, and so he comments on WWE's abundance of programming at this point. WrestleMania 34 travel packages are on sale. Steve Austin chimes in on the Neville situation. Roman Reigns removed from advertising, which we'll be talking about, and The Rock continues to tease a U.S. presidential run. All of that available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. With the business out of the way, let's get down to this business. Jake Barnett joins me. You can follow him online at BarnettJake. And the big Sunday morning surprise, WWE typically does its talent cuts Friday evening, kind of news dump time, if you will. And Jake, for some reason, they announced on Sunday morning that Emma, Darren Young, and Summer Rae had all been released from their deals. Let's start with the timing of this. Your thoughts on potentially why WWE waited until Sunday?
That's a good question. I don't know why you'd choose a Sunday. Maybe it was a contract, you know, stipulation. Maybe they have to notify so many days before the renewal date that they're being released. I really don't know. It's a good question that I don't really have a ready answer for.
My best guess is they had Darren Young make an appearance at a NBA game on Saturday night, and I wonder if it's just they wanted to get through that and then announce it on Sunday. When they first announced, initially it was just Emma. And it didn't take long before they announced the other two names. And at first, I was like, man, something, was there an incident or something like that? And then when you saw that it was the other two, it's like, okay, this must be a simple case of WWE cutting costs. Which of those three names surprises you the most?
I think Emma, obviously, yeah. Just because of her just recent prominence on the last pay-per-view and her first singles match in a good long while. And, you know, she had the follow-up match on Monday, and neither of which really, you know, she didn't get blown out by Asuka like many expected. I think, you know, it kind of makes the decision to have her work those kind of surprising 50-50 matches with Asuka look even more puzzling in retrospect. But I think she had a, you know, could have had a long career ahead of her if they had used her properly, and she may still, you know, depending on where she goes and what she decides to do with herself post-release. But it seemed like there was a lot of potential there that just never got tapped, and so it seems like the biggest shame of the bunch. I'm also kind of sad about Summer Rae because I think her work in NXT was underrated by many, but Darren Young doesn't really surprise me. It just seems like they never quite found anything for that guy.
With Darren Young, there's been talk that people are a little bit surprised, if only because he was WWE's first openly gay wrestler. Pat Patterson was back in the day, but not publicly as much as just it was, you know, well known within the industry. I don't think he really kept it a secret within the industry. But and the timing of it, given the controversy they're facing over some of Ultimate Warrior's comments, some of them very homophobic, led people to wonder if WWE made a mistake in letting Young go. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'd hate to think that they were somehow related in any way, and I don't think they are. I think it's just people looking for something to be upset about. I don't know, you know, what you would have expected Darren Young to do at this point in his career. I mean, I know he had gotten himself back into really good shape as seen on his, you know, most recent social media posts. But honestly, he just never really clicked as a character anywhere. And if they're looking to trim some budget, he's been sitting for so long, and if they don't have any fresh ideas for him, he seemed like a fairly likely target. I wouldn't think his sexuality or any of the recent controversy had anything to do with it.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with it. But I get why people are a little bit surprised. And I'm actually, in a weird way, happy that they didn't say, well, we better keep him because of this controversy. Then it just becomes he's the token gay wrestler on the roster, and that's not cool at all either. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does, assuming he decides to move forward with an independent career. he has some talent. He just hasn't really clicked as a personality yet. And this will give him a chance to decide who he is, rather than waiting for WWE Creative to kind of figure that out for him. And really, you know, the same goes for all of these talents. Emma, the same thing. You know, they had her worrying about social media and claiming that she was responsible for the women's revolution, or the Emmalution, as she was putting it. And Summer Rae, I mean, both Summer and Darren Young had been sidelined by injuries for quite a while. But I think, you know, I guess I'll put it to you. Who do you think will be in the highest demand as far as independent work goes once they're clear? Or I guess, you know, when it comes to indie work, I mean, they can probably start doing that right away. But, I mean, do you think one of these, whenever the 90-day compete comes and goes, do you think one of these will stand out as being more sought after than the others?
I would think Emma would probably be the first that would probably get calls. I mean, she was recently on television. She had, you know, fairly good matches on TV. I mean, they weren't really standouts, but I think there's the feeling that there's a lot of, you know, untapped ability there that we just haven't seen, given the opportunities that she's had in WWE, you know, since she's gone through that recent spate of injuries and made a return. So I think there's, you know, there's going to be plenty of people interested in bringing her in. I don't know what her contract stipulations are. I'm assuming it's just a standard 90-day, and I don't know what happens to her work visa situation or how long she'd be able to work in the U.S. Under her current scenario with WWE probably sponsoring her. But we'll have to see where she ends up going. I think Japan may be a viable option for her, along with obviously Australia's got a growing indie scene, and Europe is pretty vibrant right now as well.
Yeah, very talented individual. I don't know what happened, why they just on the main roster just didn't seem like they ever came up with anything for her. They brought her up, and she was doing the bubble gimmick when she started on the main roster, even though in some cases there were no bubbles, and it clicked at the smaller stage in NXT. But as we've saw later, she plays a really good heel, and we didn't really get I don't think it lived up to the expectation. I think fans saw she could play a good heel, and there was something there, and WWE just gave us this watered-down, tongue-in-cheek social media character. She's one to definitely keep an eye on. I would guess the same. Summer Rae, I think, could do well also. Young is the one. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to get any booking or anything like that, but he may have the toughest time, but hey, I mean, we saw Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway go out there, prove himself on the indie scene. And there's certainly a number of others out there that have done so now. And so, again, I look forward to seeing what he can do if he chooses to go in that direction. Emma, so far, is, I believe, the only person who's commented on social media. And hers was very simple, a broken heart emoji. That was a bummer. I was actually hoping it was like she chose to leave or something like that. But no, it certainly would not appear that's the case. And I'm with you when it comes to, as someone who defended the initial match that they had, Asuka and Emma, on the pay-per-view, thinking like, it was longer than I would have made it, and certainly a little more competitive than I think it needed to be. I still liked the match. I didn't have the same feeling about the Raw match, even though it was shorter. It just was still too competitive. And now I'm looking back going, what were you doing? Jake, I mean, you talked about it too. I just don't understand the logic there. I mean, it was weird enough when you thought both women were going to be on the roster, but if they knew they were getting rid of Emma, I mean, why? Why take the approach they did?
Yeah, I other than not really knowing, or, you know, not really having a grip on Asuka, I can't really explain why they would go that route. I mean, it really was puzzling to me, you know, just especially after I saw the release yesterday. I'm like, man, I'd kind of convinced myself that it was like, well, they probably just wanted Emma to have, you know, something to go on for Survivor Series if they wanted her to be a part of that Raw team or something. But it's just really bizarre to look back at and say, what exactly is the plan here? I hesitate to really make any broad conclusions, but I'm hoping it's not them just really not having a great grasp on what they want to do with Asuka yet, because they've been, even during those matches, they were making kind of weird comments and on commentary about how she just likes to go out there and have fun in the ring, and I'm worried it's another Nakamura situation where they don't really realize what made him cool to begin with.
Yeah, and with I guess the other thing with Emma that we need to touch on, of course, is Leo Rush made a regrettable joke yesterday. Leo Rush is an NXT wrestler. He's a former ROH wrestler, won the top prospect tournament at one point. He is a talented individual, 22 years old, and everything I'd heard about him in Ring of Honor was that there were some maturity issues there. And, you know, even Hunter Johnston, the booker, not known for being a hard ass when dealing with talent or anything, had to kind of put him in his place a couple of times. And this, I'd heard all this when he was in Ring of Honor. He goes to NXT, and it's like, well, you know, hopefully he's matured a little bit. And this is a sign that, well, maybe not, because he tweeted, "I guess these are the things that happen when you're not truly ready for Asuka," on Twitter. He later deleted that tweet, issued an apology, a lengthy one, and a little bit of what he said is that it saddened him that the tweet was blown out of proportion and looked at in a very insensitive way. Well, it was kind of an insensitive tweet there, Leo. But he caught some heat from his peers. Bray Wyatt, first time he's tweeted since the illness popped up. He said, "You ain't going to make it here with the Wolves, kid." Then we had some other Jack Gallagher, even after the apology, said, "Apologizing because people didn't like your joke, not for joking about someone losing their job. Also try English classes at the Performance Center." Peyton Royce, NXT talent, said, "Wow, kid, didn't you just get here? Professionalism goes a long way." Sean Waltman, "Sad to see this from you." Ricochet, "Very simple, dude." And Rosa Mendez, a.k.a. Melina Rauca, wrote, "Show some respect, have some class. You work for the same company. I'm so disgusted." I mean, Jake, I don't think he meant harm. I really don't. You know, I don't know Leo Rush, but reading that, I don't think he like meant it in a way where he was trying to stick it to Emma by any means. I think he thought he was being humorous. It just was a bad time to go out there and try to be cute with something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's hard to really understand where he would have been coming from in that situation, unless you just had never been around anybody who had recently lost their job, especially, you know, somebody that you may have, you know, known even briefly. It's not a great time for somebody, and to make it into a joke, you know, within hours of the announcement. Yeah. It was just in really poor taste. And I hope it's just, you know, being immature and not quite understanding the gravity of what he was doing, but I don't even know if that's an excuse. It's just more of an explanation. You know, he's just not that aware when it comes to things like this. And hopefully he gets. I mean, I'm sure his peers have already given him a lesson. But you know, hopefully the trainers in NXT, if they decide to let this one slide and keep him around, you know, hopefully they're able to impress upon him the importance of professionalism. Because yeah, you're an adult. You can't be going around insulting people on the day they lose their job, especially when they're, you know, NXT is like, you know, they treat each other like family. It was not going to go over well, regardless of how funny your joke was.
Is this going to take, I mean, is this something you think he's going to be able to shake off in time? Do you think he gets that opportunity? I mean, there's really nothing stopping WWE from going, not worth the hassle. Sorry, go back to the indie scene and maybe we'll talk to you again in a few years.
That could happen. I mean, I think it's really just somebody at NXT has to, you know, weigh how much his talent is worth to them and whether they're willing to put aside, you know, a pretty poor piece of judgment and a bad mistake and keep him, you know, on board. I really can't say whether or not I know, you know, how they're going to react to this, but certainly it would seem like he's already alienated the majority of his peers, and that can't speak positively for, you know, the rest of his tenure there.
Yeah, I mean, so that we'll watch that one closely, see what happens. I'm not hoping that the guy gets canned or anything like that, but certainly, hopefully, it's a learning experience for him. And in a way, Jake, I'd even say that, okay, assuming he isn't let go because of this, assuming they keep him around, you know, this can be a major learning experience for him. This may be exactly what he needed, just because, you know, everything I heard about him in Ring of Honor was that he was basically, you know, pretty a little too high on himself and his in-ring abilities, and you know, people just felt like he needed to be humbled a little bit. And that was part of what I'd heard, you know, with people kind of relaying the information to me, that when it came to Hunter Johnston, the booker there, kind of had to put him in his place a couple of times. And so he might be a guy that, again, assuming he ends up sticking around and can win people over, in a weird way, this could ultimately turn out to be a major positive one. Could be a horrible thing if they let him go, but at the same time, long term, this could be a real positive as far as him waking up and realizing that I've got a hell of a chance here. It might be time, and a kid at home, and he said, I think another one on the way. Might be time to grow up.
Yeah, he's a 22-year-old kid. Or, you know, he's a kid himself, and he's got a 4-year-old already at home, and another one on the way. So, he definitely has plenty of reasons to want to improve his behavior. I guess it's just a matter of, you know, he's got to learn some tact. I mean, it was just a tactless statement. There's not a whole lot else to say about it other than, you know, he already got dogpiled on by most of the WWE. So I think at some point we're just kind of beating a dead horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as far as the latest with the viral infections, as WWE has labeled it, Roman Reigns pulled from the Raw advertising. Now, WWE is basically on their live events page. When you go there, usually you can click on it. You'll see an image with the, you know, three main people, and then you'll see individual talents listed below that. As of this morning, it was just the three. Just the main image with three different talents, and they'd really, I guess, removed, or maybe they're having a glitch, can't rule that out either, but there's no individual talents listed for a lot of the upcoming shows. With Reigns, his image has been removed from tonight's Raw. It had been reported that he was going to be evaluated at Raw, along with Bray Wyatt, to determine whether or not he's medically cleared, whether he's ready to return to the ring. I know Mike Johnson over at PWInsider.com is reporting that they've actually pulled him from the UK tour as well. And that would make sense, because that would explain why Triple H has been added to a lot of the dates. It basically, all right, we don't have Roman, but you're going to get Triple H. But he's still, as of, again, last check, he was still listed for a lot of the UK tour dates. So maybe it's just WWE hasn't gotten around to it. Bray Wyatt, as I mentioned, broke his silence on Twitter to go at Leo Rush a little bit. Roman Reigns hasn't tweeted anything, and in, I don't know, going on 2 weeks now. And so it's interesting. I did reach out to WWE for comment on this. I have in the past as well. They're not saying much of anything. No response at all today when asked for an update on Roman Reigns. I'm guessing if there is an update, they will be posting it on their site at some point. But if they, either way, I'll certainly be sure to relay the information at prowrestling.net. But, I mean, how much do you think this affects their plans? I know one of the things Mike over at Insider reported was that they still believe Roman will be good to go for Survivor Series. If you are in Vince McMahon's shoes, do you bank on that, or do you, you know, does this kind of change the way maybe you were going to do things at Survivor Series, assuming he was a big part of that show's plans?
I mean, I think you got to have a contingency, or I wouldn't count on him being there. You know, it could be one of those things where they book planning on him not being there, and if he is, then you can do a last minute replacement or something if you want to, or maybe move him into a different match, or I guess it depends on where they would have him fit in. I guess I'm assuming he'd be a part of the Shield as a unit, so they can always slide somebody else in there as a replacement if he's just unable to work. It's terrible, to have this kind of viral situation, because you really can't tell when somebody is going to break through, because I've known somebody who's had viral meningitis before, and it takes forever to get out of your system. I mean, you fight it off for weeks, and then you have good days where you think you made progress, and then you're right back to square one. So it's a tough one to overcome, and I hope he's ready for Survivor Series. I mean, I don't wish poor health on anyone, but he's got to take care of himself. I wouldn't rush back, because you never know what kind of consequences that could bring on you either.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I guess the guy that I'm keeping an eye on is Bo Dallas, who's been sidelined the longest by this. I mean, you think of, it's been 2-3 weeks now, at least, since The Miz started wishing him well on television, saying that he was ill. And so, Reigns basically was pulled in time for the TLC pay-per-view. Assuming that they have the same illness, Well, I mean, if Bo's not back, I don't know what makes them think that Roman is going to be good to go. Now, maybe we'll find out tonight that Bo Dallas is good to go. I don't know. One thing about him, I did check his Twitter page, see if there's an update. He barely updates Twitter, so I don't think there's too much to learn from that. But if either Bo or Bray Wyatt happen to return, that will at least be a positive sign that, okay, you know, this, whatever this is, assuming it's all related, and there's, I guess, no reason to think it's not, that eventually will get out of their systems and they'll be good to go. Jake, it's Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory Week. You excited about this show at all?
I mean, it's tough because they've had so many issues with people leaving the card and being replaced, and so I guess I'm curious to see how well it comes across, because I think there's been a lot of organizational changes. There's been television has been kind of mediocre, at least in my opinion. So I don't know how many people you can count on to be watching this show. It'll be interesting to see how they perform. I think we're going to see some good matches because TNA generally performs fairly well. I mean, I've never had an issue with their match quality per se, unless it was more of the overbooked stuff. But it's tough. You know, Impact has a hard road ahead of itself.
Yeah, the reason, if I can find a reason to be genuinely excited about this show, it's that at least it will be new. The material they've been running on the Impact Wrestling television show, I mean, this last week they plucked footage from various promotions, and it just looks like they've run out of first run material. Now, maybe they're saving some for the go home show that'll air on Thursday. I'm not quite sure. But it's, the television is in a really bad place. Now, this will be the first show under the new creative regime with John Gaborik, Scott D'Amore, and Sanjay Dutt, and presumably others as well. Those are the three names that they put out there for a conference call after the creative shakeup when Jeff Jarrett initially went on his indefinite leave and has since been all business ties severed by Anthem when it comes to Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling. So I'm looking forward to seeing something new. You know, what's the new creative vision at Bound for Glory, and then the tapings that follow. I will have live coverage of that show on Sunday night, so if you are watching the show live and you're looking for some instant feedback, great, or you're just not going to spend the money on it, but you want to know what's going on, I'll have you covered with both updates on the actual show and then the live commentary. You can also join me for live coverage of WWE Raw tonight as the show airs from Baltimore, and live coverage of SmackDown on Tuesday. I got to talk with Jake off air because it's Halloween, so I may be doing that one. We'll figure it out after we get done here. Jake has a young daughter. I have no kids, so as much as I like to answer the door for Halloween, I think Jake's daughter takes priority. But we'll sort that out off air, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net for all those news stories and for tonight's live coverage of WWE Raw. Follow Jake online at Barnett Jake and follow the brand at ProWrestlingNet. Please take a moment, subscribe to our daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, anywhere else that takes those types of reviews. It is greatly appreciated. Until next time, everybody, take care.